Amen. And if everyone could stand, and we will read the scripture together. If you look on your bulletin on page 3, when you have it, say amen. We're going to read it together. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall shout out from your place, 'Follow it,' so that you may know the way you should go. For you have not passed this way before. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, a distance of about 2,000 cubits. Do not come any nearer to it." Then Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." To the priests, Joshua said, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on in front of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went in front of the people. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Joshua then said to the Israelites, "Draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that among you is the living God, who without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gergesites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap. While all Israel were crossing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan." May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and readers of his word. Amen.
Amen.
You may sit down.
I would just like to thank our minister's team for assisting this morning, and also welcome back Deacon Dan Bryan. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And also thank our visiting director and choir members. Amen. Immediately after service, I would like to see all the team leaders to my right on the first two rows. It would only take a couple of minutes, and all the diagonal team will meet in my office. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Eternal and all-wise God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts, thanking you once again for this day, for truly it is the day that you have made, and our souls rejoice. Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to stand before your people to preach the word. Lord, let the word come forth sharper than any two-edged sword, that it would not fall on deaf ears, that we will hear what the Spirit has to say to us today. Father, search our hearts and have mercy on our souls. And Father, we just thank you that you will bless your servant to let go and let God, and that you will be pleased in all that I do and say, and let your anointing be upon me, the anointing that makes preaching easy. Father, we ask those who do not know you in the pardon of their sins, that they will hear the word, and they will come forth crying, saying, I yield, Lord, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray, amen. You heard the reading of the scripture taken from the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. In this day and time, we use all type of modern technology to assist us. Some of us have GPSs in our cars. Some of us have computers that we use. Some of us go in and print out directions. And some of us use our cell phones to take us where we want to go. These are all man technologies, but they will fail. I was reminded of a time that Dr. Sawyers and I was on our way to Menlo Park to attend one of our best friends' an anniversary. She was being installed. And I said, I've been in that church many a times, I know where to go. And I got on the freeway and came off, and I was totally lost. And I kept driving, and I saw the San Mateo Bridge. And I said, oh, Lord, no, I don't want to get on that bridge. So I turned around, and I came back, and Reverend Sawyer said, well, you know, it's getting late, and maybe we should go back. I said, no, we've come this far. So I got on the phone and I called Rhonda. And I said, honey, we're lost. And he said, well, where are you? He said, just a minute. And then he said, okay, I see you now. And I'm saying, you see me? And Dr. Sawyer said, what do you mean he see us? He said, just keep on straight. He said, you should be coming up on such and such a street. And I'm trying to figure out, how in the world does he know where we are? And then he said, now when you get to the next street, make a U-turn and then make a right. And he took us right to where we needed to go. And so when I got home, I said, how in the world did you know where we were? He said, I just pulled it up on my cell phone. He said, he spotted the car and everything. And I said, my Lord, this technology, if man can drum up something like that to track us, don't you know that God is omniscient, omnipresent? He sees everything. We cannot hide from God. So the following directions for some individuals can be difficult, even when it comes to following the Lord. To keep your eyes on the Lord, one must be willing to obey the word. You must obey the word of God. The journey we're traveling can only be completed through the divine plan given by the Lord. When it was time for the Israelites to cross over the Jordan, the officers commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. See, the children of Israel had just returned from spying out the land of Jericho. And they came back and they were just waiting to hear from God. See, a lot of times we don't wait to hear from God. We want to just move on ahead. But what they did after 3 days sitting in camp Moses called all the leaders, and he told them what thus said the Lord. The Levites were the priests of the children of Israel. They were the only ones that was allowed to carry the ark. To follow the ark of the covenant, they had to keep their eyes on the movement so they would not know what direction they were going. So when you're following the ark of the covenant, the ark is very bright. And if you take your eyes off, you don't know where you're going. You have to keep your eyes on the ark because it's so beautiful. The Israelites were given specific instructions that they could not come within 1,000 yards of the ark. The ark of the covenant was a symbol of God's presence and power. It was a golden rectangular box, and the cover had two cherubims, which are angels, facing each other with their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover. The cover of the Ark of the Testament was called the Atonement. This is where, between the two golden cherubims, the presence of God would dwell in the clouds above their overstretched wings. The Atonement cover was where the highest and most perfect act of atonement would be made when the high priest would enter into the most holy of holies on those days. They entered there for the atonement to atone the sins of all the people. Inside the ark were the tables of the Ten Commandments. Moses received from God in a jar of manna, which is bread received from heaven during the desert dwellings. And Aaron's staff, the symbol of the high priest's authority. God's laws forbidden anyone from carrying the ark except the Levite, which was the priestly tribe. The ark of the covenant was Israel's most sacred treasure. The Levite carried the ark on a table overlaid with gold. Two long poles were used to lift the table the ark was on. The poles were placed upon their shoulders. They did not touch it, but only carried it. To carry it high on one shoulder, everyone was able to see its beauty. The sun reflecting off the gold provided a bright light to lead them. There was no reason for anyone to get lost. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. If we keep our eyes on him, we will not get lost or caught up in this world we're struggling to survive in. Before they entered the promised land, they had to sanctify themselves by performing a purification ceremony. This type of ceremony was often done before making a sacrifice, or as in this case, we're witnessing a great act of God. Because we are human, we can become unclean for many reasons. The sanctification ceremony pictures the importance of approaching God with a pure heart. In the book of Leviticus, there are many ceremonies the Israelites had to perform when they had sinned or to present an offering. The ceremony for the ordination of Aaron and his son took 7 days. Now, when we as preachers are ordained, it doesn't take 7 days. Sometimes it can take a little longer, because you have to write a paper. And that paper, Reverend James can tell you, it will take a long time. Amen. And once you write that paper, then you have to sit down and review it and have people to question what you wrote to make sure you fully understand what you are talking about. The Israelites had to consecrate themselves because they were passing the presence
of God, and God was getting ready to do an amazing thing among them. They had to be worthy of God's goodness. The priest took up the Ark of the Covenant and moved ahead of the people of Joshua, commanded them. The Lord encouraged Joshua by saying, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel." You've got to understand that Israel was used to using Moses as a leader. But God told him, "This day, I'm going to lift you up, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." God has set this day aside for Joshua to be exalted in the eyes of all Israel. So let me tell you something, church. You don't have to worry about anything or people putting you down, because when God is for you, God will lift you up. You don't have to worry about it, because his angels will keep charge over you. God also said to Joshua to command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, "When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." I believe they trusted Joshua and did not say, "We might drown carrying this heavy Ark of the Covenant, or the river is too high this time of the year." The Israelites were not afraid. They put their faith in their leader. When our rivers reach high tide, we fail to trust God and find ourselves treading water to survive. We need to stand on God's promises and see the salvation of the Lord. I tell you, I serve an awesome God. And when God moves and when God speaks, you can see the salvation of the Lord. After Joshua finished speaking to the priests, he directed his speech to the people, saying, "Children of Israel, come hither and hear the word of the Lord your God. Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gergesites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites." When God decides to do a thing, he's going to do it right. He will drive them out. These nations were wicked and deserved to be punished for their terrible sin. Israel was the vehicle God would use to drive them out of the land. See, brothers and sisters, I know God can use anybody. And when you humble your spirit and let the Holy Spirit dwell in you and be manifested, God can use you. They had to be punished because God wanted his people to be holy. A holy nation could not live with evil and adultery people. You cannot mix good and evil together, because eventually one will succumb to the other's behavior. Let me tell you something, people. You can't play with Satan. You're not big enough to play with Satan, because Satan would draw you into his mess. God knew his people, and he knows us. You cannot play with fire and think you won't get burned. We are humans, and Satan is hanging around to catch us when we take our eyes off of God. Israel had to keep their eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Lord of all the earth passed over before Israel into Jordan. The Lord God Almighty was with them, and he will lead them to the promised land. We as Christians need to have faith and confidence in the Lord that he will go before us in all situations. All you need to do is keep your eyes on the Lord to see us through. Don't drown trying to cross Jordan saying, "Woe is me." Throw out the lifeline because I'm drifting away. We need to learn to talk to God and ask him, Lord, what is it? What do I need to change in my life that is not pleasing in your sight? Strengthen my faith and help me in my infirmity. I'm weak, but thou art strong, and you can keep me from all wrong. Help me, Lord. Help my unbelief. Lord, if I'm not praying right, teach me how to pray and what to say that is not self-pleasing. Don't let your prayers be worthy to your vain glory so people can see and hear you and not God, my Lord. All of Israel was on one accord. Joshua told them to choose 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one from each tribe. These 12 men would have a special task in the Jordan. And as soon as the priest who carried the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream would be cut off and stand up in a heap. That's the power of God. As Joshua commanded, they followed. They were obedient, and the Lord God moved in a mighty way. For as soon as, the song said, as soon as my feet strike Zion, I'm going to lay down a heavy load. For as soon as the soles of their shoes hit the water, God stopped the flowing of the River Jordan, and they stepped on dry ground. And when they came to the middle of the Jordan, they stood still, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground. What a mighty God we serve. If God did it for Moses to cross over the Red Sea, he did the same for Joshua to cross the River of Jordan. My Lord, thank you, Jesus. What did God tell Joshua? He said, I will magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, and they will see that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. God parted the Red Sea to let the people out of Egypt. He parted the Jordan to let them into the promised land. God fulfilled his promise, and his faithfulness to his own always bring us through. In 2 Kings 2:8, we read that where the prophet Elijah took off his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water, and the River of Jordan was divided to the right and to the left. And he and Elijah crossed over on dry ground. Elijah wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. After Elijah saw Elijah taken away by God, chariot of fire and horses of fire, his cloak fell from him. And Elijah picked it up and walked back to the banks of Jordan and struck the water, and the water divided to the right and to the left. What a mighty God we serve. And he crossed over just as he did with the prophet Elijah. Just as God was with Elijah, he was with Elijah. What he did for Moses, he did the same for Joshua. When you say and ask God for something, and he grants your request, it is because your motives were pure. Joshua or Elijah did not set out to be better or more powerful than Moses or Elijah, but to accomplish more for God. If our motives are pure, we don't have to be afraid to ask great things from God. When we ask God for great power or ability, we need to examine our desires and get rid of any selfishness that we find. To have the Holy Spirit help, we must be willing to ask. What a mighty God we serve. See, you don't go in there asking for selfishness. And one thing that I tell the preacher that we have to be so careful, because people will come up to them, because they did it to me. Oh, you need to be the pastor. You can preach better than that person. You can do this. When we walk with God, we have to be so careful that we don't listen to that crazy talk. Because those same people that told you that will be the same people that want to kick you out. So as preachers, we have to be so careful. Our ancestors crossed the Atlantic Ocean by force on slave ships and were taken to an unknown land as America. Once they were sold as chattel and families were separated, life was never the same. No more freedom. Later on, some had the courage to escape and cross rivers to their promised land. In the 50s and 60s, many of our brothers and sisters marched for equal rights. They crossed their Jordan to stop school segregation. They crossed their Jordans to let their voices be heard at the voting poll. They crossed Jordan to sit at a lunch counter. They crossed Jordan to sit whenever, anywhere, on public transportation, and in a movie theater, in any upscale restaurants. No more ordering food from the back door of a restaurant, or going to a black-only restroom or drinking fountain. Those who made it possible for us today crossed Jordan with a struggle. But I believe, my brothers and sisters, they never took their eyes off of freedom and their Lord. For a black woman to a black man by Maya Angelou. These are a few excerpts from her poem penned and read at Million Man March on October the 16th, 1995. Draw near to each other. Value your race. You were paid dearly in another place. The hell you have lived through and lived through still has sharpened your senses and toughened your will. The night has been long. The wounds have been deep. The pit has been dark. The walls have been steep. The ancestors tell us through a history of pain. We're a going on people on the rise again. Ralph Ellison wrote, "This land is ours because we come out of it. We bled in it. Our tears watered it. We fertilized it with our dead. So the more of us they destroy, the more it becomes filled with the spirit of our redemption." Dr. Brian Biscoff in the 60s said, "I like to see the Negro change from a second-class citizen to a first-class citizen. That takes it everything we're fighting for, all our rights. We have seen changes for African Americans. We might not be considered first-class citizens, but we have arrived for the world to see our first black president. This is a step in becoming a first-class citizen. It is also part of the dream of Dr. King. A change has come. We are on the rise, but we still have miles to go. My brothers and sisters, we are on the rise again. We're coming together as a church family, as a nation, as a people, just like the children of Israel. We're on the rise because we're crossing into the promised land. Their ancestors came out of Egypt, escaping from bondage. Our ancestors ran from southern states, escaping from slavery to freedom. I believe they kept their eyes on the Lord, and God gave them strength to endure their pain. This is why we must keep our eyes on the Lord. He will guide us along the way. For if God lead us, how can we stray? Each step I take, my Savior goes before me. And with his loving hands, he leads the way. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore him. It is a joy to walk with him each day. When your faith begins to waver, turn and look up to your Savior. You are strong when he is by your side. I trust in God, for my life is in his hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to a higher ground. My faith is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Amen. See, I keep on keeping on, and I keep my eyes on my Lord. No matter what tomorrow may bring, I trust in God, for he will lead us. I know my Savior cares for me, and I know my Savior cares for you. He's my Savior. He's your Savior. And there is nothing that we cannot accomplish with God on our side. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we shall overcome. We are crossing over Jordan, just like he kept his eyes on the children of Israel. He kept his eyes on Moses. He kept his eyes on Joshua. He kept his eyes on Elijah. He kept his eyes on Eliza. God kept his eyes on all of us. For we are children on the go. Thank God that he loved us so much that he gave his only son, Jesus, who came and died on the cross for our sins, that we too may have eternal life. It's up to you how you want to live your life, whether you want to keep your eyes on Jesus or keep your eyes on the prize. The prize is worldly. God is our prize. For we will have eternal life. We're all marching up to Zion. We come a long way. Through sweat and blood, our forefathers helped build this country, helped build the White House. But yet they look at us as second-class citizens. But that's all right, because in the sweet by and by, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we're going to sit at his feet and be blessed. But one day, we're going to sit at his feet and we can tell him how we made it over. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us and dying on the cross for our sin. Thank you for providing a way out of no way, that we too will have eternal life one day. May God bless you and keep you.
Let's give God some praise up in here. Amen. God is a good God. Let's give Reverend Davis a hand of praise. Let God use her today. It is by preaching that the body is changed. What an awesome God we serve. Let us stand. The doors of the church are open. There might be somebody today don't know God in the pardoning of their sins. Just because we come to church every Sunday, that does not mean that we are born again Christian. God says to repent, turn back, turn to him, and you shall be saved. Come by letter, come by faith. Come as a candidate baptism today. God doesn't want anybody to be left out of the ark of salvation, but it's open to each and every man, woman, boy, and girl come today. Don't worry about your neighbor. Everybody has had to take the walk for him or herself. Come just as you are. Only God can change us. What a wonderful relationship. Reverend Davis to come back and give us the benediction. Amen?
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Don't forget the leaders up front and the deacons in my office. This concludes our monthly service for Black History Month. And I pray that not only will we continue to celebrate Black history in the month of February, but throughout the year.
Amen.
Let people know that you're not ashamed of who you are.
Yes.
That we are children of God.
Yes.
On the move.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand. May the peace of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us henceforth, now, and forever. And let the church say,
amen.
May God bless you.